BizScoops is proudly produced by NewsScoop.
Good day to you and welcome to BizScoops for business news, local and international. My name is Isabel Potgieter. On the show today, interest rate cut seems less likely day by day. And the Consumer Price Index for February was announced this morning. The economist, Waldo Krichel, talks about the current ongoing oil price shock, inflation, and a lesson we can learn from Japan 1973. In international business news, Tesla and South Korea's LG Energy enters into a strategic agreement. In investment news, rising student numbers is good news for Stadio Holdings. And we talk to the Chief Executive Officer of the Gauteng Transport Authority, Dorothy Mabuza. She tells us more about the authority's objective to develop an integrated transport system that contributes to environmental sustainability. Rising oil prices linked to the Middle East conflict are expected to delay interest rate cuts in South Africa. Economists believe the South African Reserve Bank is likely to keep rates unchanged for most of this year, with a possible 25 basis point cut in November only. The repo rate is therefore widely expected to remain at 6.75% next week. South Africa's annual consumer inflation fell to 3% in February from 3.5% in January. Prices rose by 0.4% on a monthly basis. The largest contributors to inflation were housing and services, food and non-alcoholic beverages, as well as insurance and financial services. Inflation for goods slowed to 1.9%, while services inflation fell to 3.8%. And the knock-on effects of the war between the United States, Israel, and Iran on global supply chains are receiving less attention than the energy price shock itself. We ask Chris Hutting of the Center for Risk Analysis, what does this mean for ordinary South Africans?
Along with the impact on oil and fuel, a lot of the world's sulfur moves through the Strait of Hormuz. Its main use is to make sulfuric acid, which is the world's highest volume chemical. In this and other forms, sulfur, which is a byproduct of Gulf oil refining and gas processing, is a key ingredient in processes as diverse as rubber vulcanization, detergent and pigment manufacturing, petroleum refining, metal extraction from ore, paper manufacturing, as well as asphalt production. This means a sustained interruption of maritime traffic through the Strait of Hormuz will affect more than just energy markets. It will lead to bottlenecks and cost inflation in many other industrial sectors. Sulfur is also an important feedstock for fertilizer production, with about 70% of global sulfuric acid going to fertilizers. Fertilizer manufacturers are already reporting supply stress. Food prices globally will feel this within weeks if disruption persists. This is especially concerning for South Africa, because the country is a significant agricultural producer, but also a net importer of fertilizers. Higher input costs will potentially impact on the agricultural sector in South Africa.
We now have the economist Professor Waldo Krichel on the line with us. Waldo, there are expectations for a large hike in fuel prices for April. Can you give us some more insight in the current oil price shock?
The news now is all about Israel and the US's war with Iran and Iran's war with the world economy. The oil price shock will lead to inflation and make you poor, reads the one headline. That's not impossible, but there are many things we don't know for certain. The estimates one sees for April's fuel price increases are 4.27 for 95 octane petrol and between 7.05 and 7.15 for diesel. A fuel price shock is not yet inflation. It only becomes inflation when prices in general start rising and wage demands rise alongside them. There's an interesting lesson in the oil crisis of 1973. Japan at the time imported all their oil, and when the oil crisis hit them, inflation doubled from 11.6% in 1973 to 23.2% in 1974. The government, business, and labor realized that the country was poorer. They would have to produce and export far more goods and services to be able to import the same amount of oil as before. Then they decided to absorb the oil price shock and not to allow the rise in costs to lead to rises in wages and prices. Workers accepted lower real wages and companies accepted lower profits. In this way, they prevented the price shock from becoming an inflationary process. And by 1975, the inflation rate was back down to 11.8%. Is there a chance that we can look through the current high oil price and after the war simply return to February's low inflation figure and declining inflation expectations? I really hope so.
Thank you. That was Professor Waldo Kriegel, an economics professor at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Professor Kriegel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify and Anchor FM. The U.S. government has confirmed a $4.3 billion agreement between Tesla and South Korea's LG Energy Solution. The deal is to build a lithium iron phosphate battery plant in Lansing, Michigan. Production is expected to begin next year. The facility will supply batteries for Tesla's Megapack energy storage systems produced in Houston. The deal forms part of broader energy agreements highlighted by the U.S. administration. It also aims to strengthen domestic battery production and reduce reliance on Chinese imports. The company Stadio Holdings has increased its final dividend for the 2025 financial year. Strong earnings supported growth despite a recent drop in its share price. The private education group declared a dividend of 18.4 cents, up 22%, in line with a more than 20% rise in core earnings. Student numbers grew from 47,024 to 53,303, boosting revenue to 1.8 billion rand. The company expects to reach 56,000 students this year and 80,000 by 2030. Before we say goodbye, we are joined again by the Chief Executive Officer of the Gauteng Transport Authority, Dorothy Mabuza. This week we hear more about the authority's objectives to develop an integrated transport system that contributes to environmental sustainability. Dorothy, what are the key environmental challenges you are targeting in Gauteng's transport sector?
Transport has been identified as the key contributor to carbon emissions, which then talks to the degradation of the environment and the climate itself. And we asked ourselves a question to say, what then, what value can we add in rectifying, correcting and mitigating this impact and this anomaly? So we are currently, or we will be developing a provincial smart mobility strategy that aligns with the white paper of government on renewable energies for transport.
Can you elaborate on this strategy?
We are hoping that the strategy will address how do we then transition into your different modes of technologies in terms of energy, be it electrical vehicles or buses or trucks or your hydrogen cells that can be another form of energy. But holistically, so we are targeting the different energies that are available.
Can you give examples of projects or policies that you prioritize to contribute to environmental sustainability?
Focusing mainly on developing quality infrastructure, public transport infrastructure, and of course, managing methodologies or managing elements of freight within the province so as to reduce the numbers of vehicles on the road. Our main intent is to move people from their private vehicles back onto a quality, safe, and reliable public transport system. And not only that, we also want to adequately manage freight, because we've also realized that not only is the climate impacted by these vehicles or these heavy trucks on the road, but their load is impacting the pavement structure and whatever budgets that may be allocated to other deserving services then gets reinvested into this very road infrastructure.
And that was the Chief Executive Officer of the Gauteng Transport Authority, Dorothy Mabuza. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on BizCoops. My name is Isabel Potgieter. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizCoops, proudly produced by Newscoop.